This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, joining us now, I think probably would be one of the hottest guests going around right now. Joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline is Mike Bresnahan, Spectrum Sportsnet, L.A. Mike, first and foremost, how's your Monday going?
You know, it's a little less hectic than my Saturday went. That was kind of a chaotic afternoon and evening. And, wow, the Lakers go from a team that missed playoffs, finished, 12th in the West, 11th in the West, whatever it was, to a team that, in some eyes of the Vegas oddmakers, they're going to win it all, which is just a huge, huge turnaround for them, gigantic trade. I have a feeling that's what you guys want me to talk about.
Oh, yeah, that is exactly what we want you to talk about. And I would throw the first question at you.
Sure.
Obviously, the Lakers acquire Anthony Davis. They give up a nice big load to the New Orleans Pelicans. Mm-hmm. How do they spend the remaining dollars? Now, I know there's some talk that maybe if the two teams wait till the end of July, they'll have about $10 million more dollars in cap space. But let's just say that that doesn't happen. Are they going to spread it out amongst guys that they need to fill the depth, or are they adamant about getting a third, so to speak, superstar to add to this roster?
You know, it's a great question. I'll tell you what, if this trade is postponed another month, a little over a month, about a month and a half almost, then yeah, the Lakers will have a cap space of about $32 million to spend towards next season. And that right there, that will get you a max level guy. But if the trade is completed in a couple weeks, right around July 6th, when the moratorium is lifted, then indeed the Lakers drop down to about $22, $23 million in cap space. And that's about $10 million less than what some of these high-end free agents can command. So they'd have to take a pretty good haircut if they want to join the Lakers. I'm not sure that's going to happen. You know, the persuasive powers of the front office might be able to convince somebody to join the Lakers for a little bit of a haircut there. But if not, I think you're right. I think instead you take that $23 million and you try to spread it over a couple of players, maybe J.J. Redick and Jeff Teague. You got two starters right there who will take, you know, $11, $12 million each, whatever it is. Then you can try and go out and get someone via the mid-level exception to kind of shore up that backcourt. Because right now, guys, they have one guard on their roster, and that is Isaac Bonga, who did not show much as a rookie last season. Not a lot of playing time for him. A second-round draft pick a year ago in the draft.
Tony's excited because the Lakers only have like four guys on the roster. He's thinking he might get a phone call if he just plays his cards right. Mike Bresnahan, Spectrum Sportsnet, LA, joining us. The Lakers obviously changing everything around with the trade for Anthony Davis over the weekend. Mike, how did they honestly, going back now, did they pull this off? I mean, it seemed like the Lakers did everything wrong from the very beginning here, from coming out and saying they wanted Anthony Davis, from everybody going 100% all in for Anthony Davis, to seemingly upsetting the Pelicans, to then losing Magic Johnson, to then firing their coach, to then having all of the upheaval in the front office. And then all of a sudden they came out smelling like a rose. How did that happen? How did that all, I mean, it seemed like they did nothing right for 7 months and landed exactly what they were looking for in the first place.
I think you missed a couple things. You missed the LeBron groin injury that kept him out longer than any other injury in his career. I mean, absolutely. It has been a tumultuous 6 months or so for the Lakers. Really, ever since the day they beat Golden State on Christmas. They were fourth in the West, but that's also the day LeBron got hurt. He would miss 7 weeks, and the team never really recovered, and obviously the offseason turbulence. And this is a big 180. This is a big, big pickup for them. To me, Anthony Davis is, if he's not a top five player, he's number six. And I feel like you've already got a pretty good player on your roster, LeBron James, obviously. And this is big. There's no doubt about it. Some people say they gave up too much. And I would say, well, you know, Lonzo Ball, a lot of fans of his in the Southern California area, but he's missed 40%, 4-0 of all the games he could have played in his first 2 years in the NBA. He just hasn't shown a willingness to stay healthy. Not that you can't will to stay healthy. He hasn't shown a propensity to stay healthy. And he's bad with the percentages too, guys. We're talking about a 47% free throw shooter, not real sharp from three-point range. So these are things that can be worked on, but we just haven't seen it yet. And, of course, Brandon Ingram, he played 3 years. He was showing some pretty good stuff until he went down with that bizarre injury. He's got the blood clot in the arm, cost him the last 2 months of the season. I think he'll be a good piece, but neither one of those guys in my mind, nor whoever the fourth pick turns out to be, will be an Anthony Davis caliber player.
Yeah, Mike, I tend to agree with you when you think about, especially the picks, because that seems to be what has everybody up in arms. If the Lakers are even just halfway decent, and that's in the middle of the pack, these picks don't amount to end up being anything. And if they end up even better than that in the playoffs, now you're talking about picking in the late first round, and it takes some skill and some luck to hit in those areas.
Yeah, and the Lakers obviously did it with Hart and Kuzma in the last couple of years, late first round picks. But I think you're right. These picks remind me of kind of what the Lakers had when they were winning titles with Shaq and Kobe. They picked up guys like Sasha Vujacic, Jordan Farmer, you know, rotation players for sure. But as long as the Lakers stay in that top five in the standings, these picks will essentially be almost second rounders for New Orleans. So, you know, would I have liked to see the Lakers maybe instead of giving away three first rounders, maybe give away only two first rounders? Yes. But to me, the key is kind of the underreported key is they kept Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
And for the Lakers, from what I'm hearing, it was either Kyle Kuzma or the fourth overall pick. The Lakers did not want to part with both. And to them, Kuzma was a better asset than the fourth overall pick. Now, if you're talking two or three with Ja Morant or RJ Barrett, then okay. But there's a little bit of a drop-off after the top three in next week's draft, or I guess this week's draft now. So I think the Lakers are cool with keeping Kuzma. He could be really good off the bench, or he could fill out that front court with LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Mike Bresnahan breaking down the Lakers trade with New Orleans for Anthony Davis. This last thing for me, Mike. To me, I don't even really look at the trade as much as I'm looking at LeBron James and trying to figure out just how much he has left. I think that, and I'm not saying he's near the end of the road by any stretch, but the Cleveland team that he won with had Kyrie Irving, it had Kevin Love, and then it had a bunch of complimentary players. This Laker team's going to have a great player in Anthony Davis. They might acquire a Kyrie Irving, who knows, but they already have a Kyle Kuzma. But how close is LeBron James skill-wise now to what he was even two or three years ago going forward with this Laker ball club?
You know, I have to go by what I saw on the court this last season. He played about 55 games, and when he played, he was typical LeBron. He was a triple-double threat every night. He was hitting some shots that even he was like, wow, this is pretty impressive. You know, some deep threes, some crazy dunks. So what I saw on the court from him was enough to make me think, yeah, he can keep doing this for a couple more years. The problem is, yeah, he did get hurt on Christmas night up in Golden State, and he missed a bunch of games, obviously. So can he come back from that? Can he strengthen his body so that he doesn't miss one third of the season again? And some of those missed games were just kind of sitting out the last couple weeks. You know, the Lakers were already eliminated, but he seemed pretty driven. He was really confused by why this groin injury cost him 7 weeks, and he seemed pretty driven to try to come back even stronger for next season.
Yeah, I totally get the confusion for a guy who had never been hurt ever in his career. That would be a little bit frustrating. One more thing before I let you get out of here, Mike. The Lakers have a pretty much put together what it looks like as a pretty good coaching staff. How do you feel like that dynamic with Hollins and Kidd and Vogel will all work? Those guys have all been head coaches at one point.
I'll tell you what, the happiest guy in the world is Frank Vogel. He was eager to sign on the dotted line last month. And probably the saddest guy in the world is Ty Lue. He said no to 3 years and $18 million. He wanted a little bit more time to coach in his contract. And now there's this amazing team potentially. Again, let's see what they do with that remaining cap space. And I think Vogel's ecstatic. And everyone's like, ooh, Jason Kidd, you know, is Frank nervous about this? Frank knew ahead of time that the kid was probably going to be his number one assistant coach. And he still signed on the dotted line. I haven't talked to Frank about it, but just the fact that he was okay with it and said, yeah, I'll be the coach of the Lakers. Sure. If you want to bring in Jason Kidd, bring in Jason Kidd. If he's okay with it, I'm okay with it. And I think it's a little bit over-reported storyline among the Laker media members. And I think it'll probably die down because there's something bigger to write about now, and there could be something additionally large just in a couple weeks here with free agency just around the corner.
All right, Mike, great stuff. Appreciate it. Once they sign somebody else or call Tony Gwynn Jr., we'll call you and get you back on the show.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you coming on,
all right,
brother.
Guys.
Thanks.
Anytime. You got it.
Mike Bresnahan there on the SDCCU hotline. Vote SDCCU Best Credit Union in the Union Tribune Readers Poll daily at sdccu.com/vote. San Diego County Credit Union, it's not big bank banking. It is better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.